Our topic this afternoon, why hate when you can be free? Why hate when you can be free? Father, I thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. I thank you that the scriptures tell us you send your word, God, and you heal us. And so this afternoon, I pray for freedom. I pray for healing. I pray for miracles to take place in each of our hearts in a way that we never imagined. I pray you would dig deep. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move on so many levels, Lord, that the strongholds in our lives wouldn't know what hit them. Lord, for your word says that you do above and beyond what we could ask or think, according to your power at work within us. And so glorify your name, further your kingdom in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Why hate when you can be free? Why hate when you can be free? Well, number one, offenses come to all of us. Offenses come to all of us. We all get hurt sometimes. Pain and offenses come to all of us. Trouble is no respecter of persons. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, here on earth you will have many trials. John 16:33, he says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Offenses come in all kinds of ways. I think of how our country is so divided politically, even today, along political lines. I think of the racial tension in some of our cities, even today, because of the offenses that have come. Folks, there is no shortage of voices that you can listen to that even will propagate offenses and feed you their offenses and poison you with their offenses. From the airwaves to the internet, there are so many places where you can go and be fed offenses and be sown into by people's offenses and begin to pick up people's offenses and begin to become offended yourself. Some offenses and the effects of them are deeper than others. I think of times when I've been offended or I was wounded by something someone else did or something someone else said, and the fight and the battle that began to ensue on the inside of me. The thoughts, the pain, the anguish, the deep sense of hurt. And suddenly I find myself in a battle for my life. Some of you know what I'm talking about this afternoon. Where the only place I could go and find solace is to run to the presence of God and allow him to begin to speak to me and minister to me and to give me a breakthrough. But offenses come to all of us, folks. They come to all of us. How do we handle those offenses when they do come? Because they will. They will. What do we do with the hurt and the pain? Sometimes we get mad at people, right? You see somebody who's hurt you. You see them from across the church. And as you're looking at them, they're like daggers coming out of your eyes, right? Because they took your seat. Or they walked by you and didn't say hello. And all of a sudden in your mind, you're thinking, well, who do they think they are? A fiery dart from the enemy. Who do they think they are? Or what's going on with them? Or what's eating them? Sometimes we get mad at people. Sometimes we get mad at ourselves. Do you know, sometimes we even get mad at ourselves because of what we've done or what we'd failed to do. And we can hold an offense even against ourselves. Sometimes we may even get mad at God. But we cannot hold on to these offenses, for if we do, we will end up hurting ourselves and others in the long run. There is a common misconception that time heals all wounds. But that's not true, folks. If hurt and pain are not dealt with, they will cause problems down the line. Hurt and pain are an indicator that something is wrong, right? If you feel hurt or pain in your body, some area of your body, right? It's an indicator that something is wrong, that something's going on. For example, if you stub your toe, right? In the middle of the night, as you were walking in the dark. It's an indicator that something is wrong. They demand, and that pain and that hurt demands our attention. They must be addressed or relieved somehow. If not, it's like having a wound or an injury that is not taken care of, and then it becomes worse or even infected. It's like having a pent-up pressure in a pressure cooker that is meant to be released, but it's not. And it will manifest itself in some way or another. And if it's not dealt with in a good and healthy way, then it will manifest itself in an unhealthy way. For example, closing yourself off from others so that you will not be hurt again. Taking out your pain on others. You ever heard the saying, hurt people hurt people? Sometimes that's true, folks. There's suddenly a barrier there. We put up walls to protect ourselves and to keep people out, but in the process, we end up imprisoning ourselves. Are you hearing me? We then run the risk of becoming bitter. And when we are bitter, we hurt others, and we can't even enjoy when others around us are blessed. Amen. Suddenly you look at that brother or sister who did something wrong to you, and you see them being blessed, and you're looking at them and you're thinking, I deserve better than that, or I could have sang that solo better than them. Well, I should have gotten that promotion on the job. Look at her. She's a mess. And you stand there hating. Hating on them. Have you ever seen a bitter person? Have you ever been around a truly bitter person? Everything about them becomes poisoned with complaining, hate, negativity. They can't see anything positive in life or in the world or before them. Everything is negative, and there's complaints about everything. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Folks, we are all living with the consequences of someone else's actions. We all are. The only choice is whether we are going to live in the bondage of bitterness or in the freedom of forgiveness. Are you with me? The Word of God tells us that we are to forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13 says this: since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We see here as well that forgiving others is not optional, but it's actually a command. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We must follow the example of Christ, our Savior. Ephesians 5:2 says this: live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Following the example of Christ. Our God is a merciful God. Has he forgiven you? Has he been merciful to you? Has he been kind to you? Hallelujah. The psalmist said in Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4, he said, Lord, if you kept the record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you, that we might learn to stand in awe of your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. There is no limit to the number of times we are to forgive. According to Matthew chapter 18, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, Jesus goes on to say, not seven times, but 70 times seven. I can imagine Peter like. What did he say? What did he say? No. Charles Spurgeon said this, forgive as you hope to be forgiven. Forgive as you hope to be forgiven. What does it mean to forgive? It means to stop requiring payment of, to stop requiring payment of, to give up resentment of, or claim to compensation or retaliation, revenge. It means to give up that claim to compensation, retaliation, or revenge. Forgiveness is choosing not to hold someone's sin against him or her anymore. That's what the Lord means when he says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. God chooses not to hold our sins against us anymore, folks. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? If we are to continue walking with God, we must choose to do what's right, which means to forgive. God says forgiveness is right, so we must forgive. It's not optional. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is a choice. It's an act of the will. I've heard some say, I can't forgive. It's not that you can't forgive. It's that you won't forgive. Since God requires us to forgive, it's something that you and I can do. Amen? Folks, I know it's not easy to forgive. I know when you have come from a background of abuse. Folks, we're part of the counseling ministry. And so we hear all kinds of horror stories. People who have been abused, people who have been neglected, people who've been betrayed, people who have carrying such deep hurt and pain for years. In some cases, it's not easy, but it's right. It's right. God says it's right. And it's so important for you and I. Why is it so important? Well, when we hold on to unforgiveness, we torture and imprison ourselves, folks. I think of the story, the parable Jesus gave in Matthew 18, the same chapter that where Peter asked the question, how many times should I forgive? Well, later on, Jesus tells the story. He says, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I'll pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him thousands of dollars, who owed him a few thousand of dollars. So he had millions of dollars of debt. And here is his fellow that he's been forgiven of, but here's his fellow servant who only owes him a few thousand. And he goes to his fellow servant and he demands that he pays him right now. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him the same way he fell down before his master and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me and I'll pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of his fellow servants saw this, they were so upset that they went to their master, the king, and told him everything that happened. And the king called in this servant whom he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you a tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Prison to be tortured. Folks, when we hold on to unforgiveness, we end up torturing and imprisoning ourselves. I wanted to read to you some of the medical effects of unforgiveness. Listen to this. This is extremely interesting. Because some of us are suffering ailments and have been suffering ailments for years and are paying thousands of dollars for medications. And I can't help but wonder if unforgiveness is at the root. Listen to this. According to medical research, unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. Refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. With that in mind, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. Doctors have found that it is important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they can hinder someone's reactions to treatments and even someone's willingness to pursue treatment. Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues. 61%. Have forgiveness issues. And of those, more than half are severe. Harboring negative emotions, anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety produces excess adrenaline and cortisol, which depletes the production of natural killer cells, which is the body's fighter against cancer. It doesn't end there. Listen to the psychological definition of unforgiveness. It is defined as the emotional imbalance due to delayed response towards a transgressor. The emotional imbalance due to a delayed response towards a transgressor. Unforgiveness is a type of stress response, and it has direct impact on mental health and the psychology of a person. It puts a person in a confined, stressful state of mind, imprisonment. A confined, stressful state of mind. Listen to the high risks of unforgiveness. A person with such a mental state can take potentially harmful steps, and in extreme cases, people develop suicidal tendencies. Unforgiveness can damage mental health in a number of ways. It causes severe diseases like cardiovascular issues and high blood pressure. Chronic stress can also cause brain hemorrhaging. Long-term effects of chronic stress can also give rise to psychological disorders. Often persons suffering with this kind of stress due to unforgiveness can end up anorexic or bulimic. Short-term effects of unforgiveness provokes a person to respond intensely, and it impacts the social behavior of a person and the cognitive behavior of a person and their interaction with others. Listen to this. We get so many people on a Tuesday night that write in because they're battling depression. Unaddressed and delayed negative emotions can cause depression. Common health issues associated with depression are anxiety, short temperament, and sleeplessness. Are you having trouble sleeping? patients suffering from depression due to unforgiveness have no, here's something else they discovered, many of them have no self-control. Are you battling an addiction? What bitterness does to your body? Feeling bitter intensifies the body's hormonal and immune system. Studies have shown that bitter, angry people have high blood pressure, heart rate, and are more likely to die of heart disease and other illnesses. Wow. Wow. And psychiatrists say that the benefits of forgiveness facilitate the process of recovery from all types of mental trauma. Isn't that interesting? Until you let go of bitterness and hatred, the person is still hurting you. They're still technically hurting you in a way. You know, until you let that person off the hook, they're still hooked to you. It's like you've got them by the lapel and you're saying, I pay me now. You owe me. You owe me. Folks, nobody can fix your past, but you can be free from it. To forgive is to set a captive free and suddenly realize you were that captive. Forgiveness is the key element, a key element in keeping relationships healthy. It unlocks the door to a heart that has grown cold, for example, in marriages. It frees us from bitterness and allows us to love despite the faults of others. Forgiveness sets us free from our past and inhibits Satan from taking advantage of us. Folks, we don't heal to forgive. We forgive to heal. Did you hear me? Sometimes we don't experience healing because we willfully choose to disobey God. Folks, I think of the testimony of a woman who recently shared with my wife and I her story. She said this. She said, I was abused as a child from around the age of 4 until around 10 years old. From a broken home with domestic violence, where a true father figure was lacking. I was a little girl with very sad eyes, cried easily. I was broken inside and depressed. At the age of 9, tired of abuse, I made a promise to myself. I said out loud, when I grow up, no one will ever touch me unless I want to. I closed my heart completely at that age. I kept silent, never telling any adult what was happening or happened, including never telling my parents that I was being abused. Folks, if you're in a position like that, you need to get out and you need to tell somebody. Growing up, I was very much aware that God was real. He had clearly communicated in many ways that he loved me. My father's side of the family is born again. So I grew up attending church services, VBS, neighborhood Bible classes for kids, learning songs and participating in activities for children. My grandmother's orchard and garden behind her big house in the countryside became my secret place of refuge when I visited her as a little girl. I would sing to the Lord, make up new songs to him, and dance before him. I would be filled with something I didn't fully understand, but I knew God was present. I could sense his presence, his embrace. I knew he loved me. As a teen and young adult, I held on to very strong family values and excelled in school. I believed I was a Christian. I believed I was a Christian. I wanted social justice for those who didn't have a voice. But I never told anyone my secret until at the age of 25, a friend said to me, "All that you're doing is good, but there's something greater. Give your life fully to the Lord. Give your life to God for real." And she said, "I did." It was the beginning of an amazing journey. I shared my secret of having been abused for the first time in my life with the wife of a pastor friend of mine. The Lord made a promise of restoration through a message preached by my pastor at the time from Joel 2:25. "I will restore to you the years." The Lord also spoke a word of healing directly through one of Pastor David Wilkerson's books, "Hallowed Be Thy Name." The Lord revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha to me, and I understood I could be healed by him. She said, "Over some time, though, I kept waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise to heal and restore, but it was not coming. I was baffled and saddened. I couldn't understand why. I had been basically accusing the Lord of making a promise that he was not fulfilling and telling him that he was basically just like my earthly father, who had made promises to me all the time and never fulfilled them." She said, "My mother was diagnosed with cancer in 2004, but I couldn't bear the thought of losing my mother without having our relationship restored. I felt all the abuse had happened because both of my parents did not protect me. I began to cry out to the Lord for mercy and healing for my mom. The Lord very clearly showed me my heart, my sin. The reason healing had not come to my soul was due to my unforgiveness. I must forgive, otherwise I had no part with him. I told the Lord, 'You're going to have to do it because I don't know how and I can't.' It wasn't really that. It's that I wouldn't." These are her words. She said, "I had held on to unforgiveness all my life as if to keep my abusers in bondage, in prison. But the truth was I was keeping myself in bondage as a prisoner. I forgave every man that had abused me and had also abused those I dearly loved. An amazing, miraculous change came over me. There was an explosion of joy inside of me. My face was radiant because it was no longer covered in shame. Once that was sincerely done, as heart-wrenching as it was, healing began to come in." Hallelujah. The little girl that had said to herself, "I'll never let anyone touch me," was now extending her hands like the woman with the issue of blood and crying out to Jesus to touch me. His touch is clean, it's pure, it heals, and it restores. Hallelujah. She said, "My mother never had to receive chemotherapy. To make a long story short, God had mercy on her mom and spared her. 13 years went by since her first diagnosis." Hallelujah. The Lord clearly showed mercy in healing her while at the same time healing this woman. She said, "Healing me and showing me the path of mercy and grace. Today, I know the Lord's healing is not only for me, but for others, to let them know that God can heal, but unforgiveness must go." Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise this afternoon. Your healing is not just for you, but for the benefit of others. God wants to use you in an even greater way for his glory. And what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around for good. Your healing allows you to interact with others in a healthy manner. Did you hear that? Your healing allows you to interact with others in a healthy manner. How? Lastly, how do we forgive? How do we forgive? We must obey God and choose to forgive. This is done by believing in and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Believing in, actively believing in and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, the Gospel of John, our last scripture, second to last scripture. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16 through 18 says this in the Amplified Bible. It says, I will ask the Father, and this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another comforter. And look what the word comforter means. It means counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Ooh, I like that. He stands right by you and I. He is that very present help in our time of need, folks. Hallelujah. That he may remain with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know or recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is a choice. We must pray and ask God. And I want to do that even now. We're going to do something a little different. I want us to take a moment and to pray. Even now. And to ask the Lord. Some of you already, God's brought somebody to your mind already. An offense of the past. It could be a former employer. It could be a relative, a neighbor, friend. It could be somebody that you're living with right now. And I want you to pray yourself and say, God, is there somebody that I need to forgive that I've totally forgotten about, an offense that I've been carrying? God, I pray you help us today. You said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Help us today. Bring to our remembrance folks that we need to forgive, offenses that we need to let go of, people that we need to let off the hook so that we can be healed. Lord, you want us whole. You want us healed. You don't want us walking around wounded. You don't want us walking around captivated. And so I pray, would you help us today? Help us today. Help us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we ask God to show us those that have offended us. And when he does, we one by one begin to list those people as they come to mind. And we pray a prayer forgiving them and releasing them of their debt to us. Releasing them of their debt. And if emotions begin to well up, it's okay. We need to release those emotions. One common thought is that if you allow yourself to face the memories and express the emotions, that you will fall apart. Or if you begin to cry, you won't be able to stop. Folks, that's a lie. The devil has kept you bound up long enough. You can release the pain and hurt today in a healthy way, in a healthy place, which is the presence of the Lord. For example, I think of Joseph's brothers that came to him and said to him, our father told us, to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of God, your Father, beg you to forgive our sin. And the Bible says, when Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. He broke down and wept. Don't wait until you feel like forgiving someone. That will never happen. It'll never come. Make the choice, the right choice, to do it, even if you don't feel like it. Once you choose to do things God's way, Satan will lose his grip on you. Hallelujah. He'll lose his hold on you, and healing and freedom will be yours. There is an abundant life, folks, that is ours in Christ. And when we choose to walk in forgiveness, at first, that freedom, that abundant life, as it begins to flow in us, and as we begin to live in that freedom and that healing, it may seem foreign, it may seem new, it may seem strange. But God will teach us how to live it, walk in it, and enjoy it. I'm done. In a moment, we're going to stand. And if you say, Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me. I've got some stuff I need to deal with. I need to release. I got business I need to handle right now. I need to give my stuff to God. I need to come before the Lord. Folks, you're in a safe place. You're in the presence of the Lord. I know, folks. I know. This is a fight for our lives, some of us. Folks, I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to want to run because of the pain, because of the deep hurt. I know what that feels like. But the safest place you can run now is into the arms of Jesus. It's into the arms of the Savior who loves you, who died for you, who adores you, and who refuses to allow you to walk in shame and stay bound up and in pain any longer. He died for your healing. He died for your freedom. He paid the price for you. Out of love. And so today, if you hear his voice, don't resist him. He stands ready to help you, to see you through. And we're going to pray together. And we're not going to pray, Lord, help us to forgive. We're not going to pray, God, I want to forgive. No, we're going to pray, God, I choose today to forgive. And to release this debt. I choose to unhook this person, to let this person go. I choose to release this thing once and for all, to unhitch their cart from mine so I can go in freedom. Let's stand together quietly and reverently. If that's you, I don't care if there's one or 100 folks. You get out of your seat here on the main floor up in the balcony. You come to the front of this church. And we're going to believe God for miracles. Miracles this afternoon. Miracles. Why are we not going to pray, Lord, help me to forgive? Well, that's because he's already here with you, standing by your side, ready to help you. And why are we not going to pray, Lord, I want to forgive? Because that bypasses the hard choice that you and I have to make. So today we're making the choice to agree with God, to go with God, to do what's right, and to release those people, that person, that organization, that people group from whatever debt we feel that they owe us, however they've offended us. So our prayer is going to be a simple prayer today. It's going to be, Lord, I choose to forgive, and we're going to name that person. Even if that person is yourself, we're going to name the person. And we're going to say what they did to me. I choose to forgive this person and what they did to me. I release them of the debt, and I choose not to hold on to any resentment. Thank you for healing me and for freeing me today. A simple prayer. So I want you to lift your hands to the Lord in faith today. So, folks, we're not faking it, we're faithing it. There's a difference. We're faithing it. We're choosing to believe the word of God. We just sang, he sent his word and healed my disease. That's what this is. He's come to heal your disease. And so in faith today, we're going to begin to pray this prayer. And I want you to pray it sincerely from your heart. Lord, I choose to forgive. And I want you to name the person. I choose to forgive them, Lord, and what they did to me. I release them of their debt. And I choose not to hold on to any resentment. Thank you for healing me and freeing me today. I am free. I am free. In Jesus' name. Amen.